Let us turn to the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 40, keeping our Bibles open. Taking occasion now, briefly, to engage in prayer. Our Father and our God, we wait upon Thee. Counsel us by divine wisdom. May Thy Holy Spirit interpret the things of Christ to us in all the Scriptures. Open the eyes of our understanding. Touch our hearts. Help us to grow in grace. We beseech Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We have given attention already to the striking words which make up the fourth verse of the chapter. I think I said a little while back, these words are unique in the Bible. Unique in the fashion by which they seek to fix the attention of Ezekiel on all the details of the sanctuary to be demonstrated to him by the Lord. Verse 4 reads, "And the man," we take the man to be the man Christ Jesus, "he said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither." There's a purpose, God's saying to Ezekiel. There's a purpose in bringing you here, in conducting you through the sanctuary and through these parts of the Lord's house. I have a purpose. The purpose is of instruction. I want you to pay attention to every single detail you observe in the house of God. Don't miss a thing. We had to say when we produced this point, it's a striking point, but when we read Ezekiel, these chapters are given the least attention, and we pay little attention to the detail that Ezekiel had singled out for him by God. But I feel that we're missing a lot. We may not be able to understand the chapters as we go to them at the beginning. We may be bewildered by all the features down to minute proportions that belong to the sanctuary. We have difficulties in understanding how these proportions fit in terms of the overall building. And maybe we don't quite get the spiritual sense either. But yet, the Lord is saying to Ezekiel, don't you miss one thing. If the Lord counsels Ezekiel like that, then this vision of the sanctuary at Jerusalem is of the utmost importance. We will not want to miss a detail either. We had to ask ourselves the question then, what did Ezekiel discover? If he had to observe everything, and listen to everything, and look at everything, and notice all the details without leaving one thing out, what did he discover? Well, he discovered that all the features of the house of God were in correspondence to the divine standard. He saw the Lord with a measuring line. He watched the Savior as he ran that measuring line over every dimension of the house, over the dimensions of the court, and off the features in the house, and even the wall. Everything is measured, and the discovery is made. All is in accordance with the divine standard. We were making the point last Lord's Day, if the Lord ran the measuring line over us, or even over our worship, or over the house of God as it's found in these times, we'll not go far astray if we say things nowadays just do not measure up to the divine standard. But up there in glory, and this vision is given from glory to Ezekiel, he's brought in the Spirit to the land of Israel. He's looking at the city of Jerusalem. He sees the sanctuary of God. all here is in accordance with the divine standard. Then there's something else. Not one detail is missing. Look at verse 10 of chapter 40. And the little chambers, however insignificant a particular feature of the sanctuary happens to be, it does not escape the attention of the Savior. The measuring line in the hand of the Lord has run over that place also. Even the little chambers off the gate eastward were three on this side and three on that side. They three were of one measure, and the posts, so the pillars, had one measure on this side and on that side. Oh, well, may we single out the words one measure. There's one standard obtaining for the house of God throughout. Turn to chapter 41. Look at the verse 17. And to get the connection, I'm reading from the end of verse 16 into verse 17. And from the ground up to the windows, here the Savior is conducting this work, running the measuring line over every facet of the house. And at the end of verse 16, we're reading, from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered to that above the door, even unto the inner house, and without, and by all the wall, round about, within and without, by measure. Notice the build-up of the language here. Everything is so precisely worded. The language in verse 17 in particular, being of the sort intended to take in just everything, every conceivable angle. Let me try and emphasize it. And again, I take up the reading from the end of verse 16. From the ground up to the windows. We're going vertically up to the windows. From the foundations to the windows. And the windows were covered. Moving from there, verse 17, to that above the door, going up above the window level, up toward the top of the building, and then extending onto the inner house, getting into the inside, and then without, on the outside, and by all the wall. The word all indicating how precisely everything is brought into conformity with God. And then this wall is taken in round about, doubling up on the emphasis. It's not just all the wall, significant as that would be, but all the wall, round about, within and without, the inside and the outside, all is by measure. I am therefore entitled to say, by this brief examination of the portion, yes, every detail is covered. Not one aspect of life in the sanctuary goes unnoticed, unobserved by the Savior, the King of Glory. When it comes to measuring up the facets of this structure to see if they are in accordance with the divine standard, mind you, the Lord knows everything. And the Lord knows before He begins this process of measurement that everything is in accordance with the divine will. Why does He use the measuring line? He's using it to instruct the prophet. Ezekiel has to see it. We're slow to take things in unless we see the demonstration for ourselves. We hear things a thousand times over. And if the Lord had simply said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, everything here is in perfect accordance with the divine standard. And if Ezekiel had learned, don't you see the symmetry of the house? The sanctuary, the inner court and the outer court, the walls, the gates, everything is in accordance with the divine plan. That would have gone in one ear and out the other. Our Lord must then take Ezekiel all the way, step by step. He'll hold the measuring line in front of him. He'll say, do you see the measurement? We're taking it from the ground up to the windows and right above the doorway, going up and up. We'll proceed to the inner house. We'll measure every facet of the sanctuary and all the wall, round about, within and without. Everything is by measure. And at the end of the day, it's all in accordance with the divine plan. And when the first tour of Ezekiel in the temple area and the house of God was coming to an end. We'll go to chapter 42 and verse 11. He had this preliminary tour of the temple and the precincts round about. And when this first tour of the sanctuary was coming to a close, Ezekiel had this conclusion burned into his soul. For verse 11 says, it's chapter 42, and the way before them, he was looking at the walkway. It was like the appearance of the chambers which were toward the north, as long as they, and as broad as they. He saw the conformity still. Even these chambers, as they were going down this passageway, even these chambers were as long as the others and as broad as the others. There was correspondence there. And again we read, and all their goings out, every exit and every entrance, all their goings out were both according to their fashions, according to the features that he had seen, and according to their doors. There was correspondence throughout. And verse 12, and according to the doors of the chambers that were toward the south, was a door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall toward the east, as one entereth into them. He could see conformity throughout. One door was like the other, and this ran all the way through the house of the Lord. His first tour then of the temple area runs from chapter 40 through to 42. The procedure Ezekiel found on this first tour of the temple was to begin on the outside. Look at verse 5 of chapter 40. We're just going to follow Ezekiel on this first tour of the temple this morning. Ezekiel begins at the wall and at the gate. Verse 5 of chapter 40. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about. He came to a wall. He found there the gate yielding to the outer court of the sanctuary. He began on the outside, gradually advancing until he was in the innermost court of the Lord's house. He found himself on the outside, you'll observe, according to verse 5. Behold, a wall on the outside of the house. That's where he started, outside the sanctuary. And when we began with God, we were outside the gate. We were outside of Christ. We were cut off from God. We did not have communion with him. Then came the discovery of Christ as the way into the presence of God. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we got in by the door. Again, the Savior says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a wall round about the sanctuary. It is not possible to get into the house of God, to enter into God's presence, except Ezekiel gets in by the gate. There is no way that you and I can come to God unless we go in through Christ. There he is, revealed unto us, standing in the gate, verse 3 says. And he stood, or he was standing there in the gate. Christ himself is the way in. He conducts Ezekiel into the sanctuary. He shows him the way to the altar and shows him the most holy place. It's the Lord who brings Ezekiel into the sanctuary. We read there today again the words, and he brought me into the temple. He brought me into the temple area. He brought me to the court. He brought me to the altar. It was the Lord who took him in. Ezekiel found he had to follow the Lord right round the entire area of the house of God. He had to follow the Lord all round the place, from the gate to the outward court, and from the outer court to the inner court. We're going to speak on Ezekiel following the Lord. In And the question will be addressed to us, how far have we followed Christ in relation to the sanctuary? There is a sanctuary walk for the Christian. The Christian should understand that he needs to maintain communion with God. You're not to live just by mere profession. Christianity does not mean that you come to the Lord's house on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. Knowing the Savior doesn't merely consist of attending services. Oh, it has to be more, far more than that. There should be a sanctuary walk for the believer. You should be conducted by Christ into the sanctuary of God. You should see the gate and its significance. You should get in, first of all, to the outer court, and then eventually make your way into the inner sanctuary. How far have we followed the Lord? Let's see the first object. It's there in verse 5. The Lord is saying to Ezekiel, declare all that thou seest unto the house of Israel. What's the first thing? Verse 5. And behold, a wall on the outside round about. The wall is the symbol of separation. This wall divides between the sanctuary of God and the world outside. The wall, it's clear for us as we go through verse 5, it's clear for us to perceive this. The wall is on the outside. The wall surrounds the entire area of the sanctuary. It's on the perimeter of holy ground. The wall is on the outside, and it's round about. That's a wall of separation. This wall conforms, we learn, to the divine standard. For he measured the wall. And when we run a line of separation between the Christian and the world, that standard of separation needs to be set by the Bible. It needs to be in accordance with the divine mind. If we're going to talk about separation, my standard of separation must be that which is pleasing to the Lord. I may not separate myself in accordance with my own thoughts. I must see to it that I'm separated from the world in accordance with God's will and God's way. Now, when I say the wall here is the symbol of separation, I'm not using guesswork. There's evidence in the passage for what I'm teaching. In chapter 42, if you look at verse 20 in that chapter, chapter 42, and it's at chapter 42, the first tour of the sanctuary comes to a close. There it is, the last verse of chapter 42, which is verse 20. He measured it. That is to say, he's measuring the wall by four sides. It had a wall round about. He's measuring the sanctuary area. And this entails measuring the wall. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long and 500 broad to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. There has to be a difference between the church and the world. There has to be a difference. When it comes to the life of the believer, every day, if he will learn of a sanctuary experience, there must be a difference between him and the way of life that is in the world. The wall is on the outside. The wall is round about the sanctuary area. And God Almighty says the wall is there to make a separation. We must not touch the unclean thing. That which is of the world is here described as being profane. And that which is on the inside is separated. Do you see the word separation? To make a separation. The Lord intends your life to be different. Sometimes, if I may speak to the young, there is the feeling, oh, I don't want to stand out in the community. I don't want to be different to the rest. But listen, God intends for you to be different. He doesn't want you to be like the crowd. He wants you to be different. It's God's purpose in saving you to put a wall around your life. That's a wall of protection, mind you. And we're glad that we have the protection of God's grace. But it's not only a wall of protection, it's a wall to make a difference. And I ask you, is there that difference? Have you followed the Lord to the wall? the world comes up to the divine standard, there has to be a difference. If you come up to the divine standard too, there has to be a difference between you and the ungodly. Listen, there has to be a difference in the way you live. There may well have to be a difference in some things as to the way you dress. There'll have to be a difference in the way you talk. The psalmist had a prayer, and he says, Lord, will you do this for me, lest I be like them that go down unto the pit. I don't want to be like them. I'm not to be like the ungodly. I'm to be like a child of the king. I think it was Gideon who was inquiring one day into the whereabouts of some near to him, and he said to certain people he suspected were enemies and may well have murdered the people who were on his heart. He said, now you laid hands on some people, what were they like? And the answer was, they were like the children of a king. And if we may take that as an illustration, it should be said of you, wherever you're found in the world, even if people don't know you and they're asking questions about you, it should be said of you, you're like one of the children of the king. Let that be so. Have you followed the Lord to the wall? We'll go a little further. Verse 8 of chapter 40. The Lord went on to measure the porch, and Ezekiel followed him there. It says in verse 8, he measured also the porch of the gate within one reed. And Ezekiel watched him as he ran the measuring line over the area concerned. He was in the porch now. The porch to the Lord's house is the place of prayer and meditation. You needn't turn up the reference, but I'm reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, and verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? This space between the porch and the altar was of particular significance. When it came to crying out unto God, the porch then was to be the place of meditation. It was to be the place of counsel in divine things. And this area around the porch was that area of the sanctuary where men came to pray. Let them cry between the porch and the altar. Let them say, Lord, why should the people of God be living in defeat? And why should the heathen say, where is their God? Let them cry unto God. I find two in John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, that our Savior often taught the people in the vicinity of the porch of that temple which stood in Jerusalem during the days of his earthly ministry. He taught the people there. The porch at that time and in that temple was the place of teaching and meditation. Here we observe in the porch there are chambers set. Verse 10, we have already read, the little chambers of the gate eastward were three on this side and three on that side. And these chambers were in a position adjacent to the porch, so that one entering into the gate, going through the porchway, would find there's a place there. There's a chamber. There's a special place set apart by the Lord. You can go there and cry to him, and commune with him, and get to know God's mind and will for your life. He measured the porch. And when it comes to your participation in prayer, does it measure up to the divine standard? Have you cried to God between the porch and the altar? Have you attended to the teaching of Christ? Do they measure up in prayer? Verse 28 in our chapter. And he brought me to the inner court by the south gate, and he measured the south gate according to these measures. Still, wherever we follow with Ezekiel in the footsteps of Christ, wherever we go, there's a measuring line. The wall had a significance. It had to be in accordance with the divine standard. If the wall had just been the size of a curbing, there wouldn't have been any separation. But no, it was one reed broad and one reed high. In modern parlance, it was as broad as it was long, nearly, taking it that way. But the wall was of such a height that it provided separation between the sanctuary and the world outside. To get in, one had to go by the gate. The wall made a complete separation between the sanctuary area and the world outside. Then we got into the porch and we saw there were chambers there. These chambers were for counsel and meditation. And taking the reference from the book of Joel, this area is associated with prayer, crying unto God. And we're saying, the Lord has the measure of our praying, and do we please Him in His conclusions? Then verse 28, the inner court is the place, first of all, of washing. As we may observe, verse 38, the chambers and the entries thereof were by the posts of the gates, where they washed the burnt offering. The burnt offering had to be washed before presentation, and I think this is what the apostle refers to in his letter to the Hebrews when he applies the detail to the life of the believer. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There must be cleansing in the believer before he makes an approach unto God. In Ezekiel's temple, it was the burnt offering that was washed before it was brought to God. There had to be cleansing before presentation. And Ezekiel learned that in the inner sanctuary. And then verse 44 of our chapter, there was the place for singing without the inner gate, where the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the north gate. There was a place for singers in the sanctuary of the Lord. God has a place for singers in our time. Where are the singers positioned in the sanctuary? Does Ezekiel find that out? Yes, he does. He finds out that God positioned the singers also in a certain area of the house of God. Verse 44 tells us their sanctuary was at the side of the north gate, and their prospect was toward the south. One at the side of the east gate, having the prospect toward the north. So where the singers were meant that they were looking to the south, and they were also looking to the north. We'll perhaps see it another time, but northwards from this area was the place of sacrifice. And the singers had to contemplate the offering made by blood unto the Lord while they sang. Then there was a prospect toward the south. And the southernmost prospect of the sanctuary caught the sunshine. And they were looking into the sunshine. I certainly have to say, for any singing of real significance, we need to catch the heavenly sunshine. At the same time, we must contemplate the cause. There's no real singing at all that will be pleasing to the Lord if we're living in the shadows. You can't really sing if you're in the shadows. You have to be enjoying the sunshine of heaven. That's the prospect to the south. They were looking to the heavenlies. And there was the prospect to the north, the place of sacrifice. And there they sang unto the Lord. How can the Christian sing if he doesn't contemplate the cross? And if he doesn't have the heavenly aspect to his view? Look at verse 46. The priests of the Lord, the keepers of the house, were there as well. And the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests. You see, the priests were to be near to the altar. The priests were to be near to the sanctuary, and hence the quarter for the priest here was toward the north. The prospect was toward the north. For the exit from their particular residence inside the courts of the Lord's house was in the direction of the sacrifice. The prospect was toward the north for the priests. The keepers in charge of the altar, these are the sons of Zadok, among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto Him. So this place in the inner court is said to be near to the Lord. It's the place of communion. It's the place of washing. It's the place of singing. It's the place that is said to be near to the Lord. How can the Christian sing well? Let him, when he sings, be washed. Let him look out the window toward the cross. Let him turn round and look through the other window and see the sunshine. And let him, all the while he stands there, be near, so very near to the Lord. And when you sing in God's house, that's what you should keep in mind. This part of the sanctuary came up to the divine standard. Have you followed him to the inner court, to the place of song and praise? Finally, let's look at chapter 41, verse 4. He measured the length thereof. Now we have come to the temple and to the tabernacle. And he measured the breadth before the temple, and he said unto me, this is the most holy place. Later, verse 22, he was to say at the altar there, this is the table that is before the Lord. The altar is the place of dedication. The chapter reads, there they are to consecrate themselves. Have we followed the Lord? Have we followed in the steps of Ezekiel to the wall, to the place of separation? Have we followed him into the porch, to the place of prayer and meditation? Have we followed him into the inner sanctuary, at least to the court of the inner sanctuary? The place of washing and the place of praise, the place of contemplation, where one window gives out to the north, where the blood is shed, and another window gives access in our viewing to the sunshine. Have we followed Ezekiel there? Does our worship measure up to the divine standard, or have we lost sight of the cross? Have we lost the song? And then, at the altar, the place of consecration. Let them consecrate themselves, the scripture portion says. Let them give themselves to the Lord. Ezekiel took these steps one by one. He saw everything there was in accordance with the divine standard. How do we measure up? Let's bow in prayer. There is dedication for the Christian. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Christian then is to dedicate his life. He is to give himself to the Lord. And every Lord's Day, we should be conducted into the sanctuary. Every Lord's Day, we should seek to give ourselves. Let's come to this altar of consecration. Let us give ourselves. How do we measure up when it comes to consecration? Does the Lord find apathy? Does he find coldness? Does he find there's a distance? Have we left you on the outside of the wall round about? Or have you come with us today into the sanctuary? Are you found at the altar? How far have you followed the Lord? Have you been like Ezekiel? Ezekiel went round the whole place. Every step the Lord took, he took. He never deviated. He never lost the will to concentrate on what the Lord was showing him. He didn't miss a thing. He saw that everything measured up to the divine plan. What about your consecration? Are you following the Lord fully? Or are you far off? O Lord, restore to us the first love. We pray that Thou will lead us into the sanctuary. Perhaps today found us at the beginning outside the wall, in the place that was profane. We were in the world. We had yet to discover that there was a way of access into the presence of God. There had to be washing and cleansing. There had to be the altar of dedication. We had to follow God's servant all the way as He followed the Savior. Lord, conduct us more and more into the secret place. Let us close the door on the world outside. Let us meet alone with Thee. Teach us Thy will. We beseech Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.